Dear friends, we don't think of obedience as a very exciting thing to talk about at church, but what we need to recognize, and the Bible teaches this, obedience by one person was absolutely necessary for eternal life and our salvation. So it is a very important topic. Today we find out the first Adam messed up. The second Adam, Jesus, was perfect in his obedience. Dear friends, while a man was crossing the United States and Mexico border on his bicycle, a couple guards right on the border, they were curious about the two bags that he was carrying. They thought he was smuggling things across the border. And so they said to the man, "What do you have in your bags?" And the man said, "Nothing special, just sand." They didn't believe him. They asked him to take the bags down and to dump them out so that they could check every morsel of sand to make sure that there wasn't something being smuggled into the country. And sure enough, the man got off his bicycle, dumped out everything in his two bags, and they combed through the sand, and they didn't find anything. The man put the sand back into his bags, hopped on his bicycle, and went across the border. Same thing happened 2 weeks later. The man came by, the same guards, bags of sand. They searched him. He put put the sand back in the bags and went across the border. This happened for 6 months, this repeated activity. And finally it stopped. They didn't see the man anymore. Well, one of the guards was in a town close to the border, and he recognized the man who was on the bicycle. And he said to him, called him out in a restaurant, and said, "You know, you really caused us a lot of scratching of our heads. You really bothered us because we knew you were smuggling something across the border. I won't turn you in, but can you tell me secretly what it was?" The man paused for a second, and he said, "Yeah, I'll do it, but don't tell anyone. Bicycles." Bicycles. When we think about, and maybe you've had experience about this, when there is a clashing of cultures, or a time in which you're crossing the border, there can be great confusion. And when cultures come together, you can really just you don't really know exactly what's going on, and that can be very scary. By the way, maybe you've experienced that going to a different country, cultures clashing, and there's misunderstanding that happens. That happened to us, Alicia and I, on a trip down to Central America in a very scary way as we were flying down to Guatemala City. And as we were going down the plane, it was very clear the infrastructure of Guatemala City, where we weren't in Kansas anymore, that's for sure. The infrastructure didn't look good. And as we were coming down, we landed. But then it got even worse than that. You see, the guard outside the plane had an AK-47. And he spoke a foreign language. We went and got our luggage, not a problem at all. But then the guard followed me, and he started asking a lot of questions. I don't know Spanish very well, but I could pick up enough words to understand that what he was asking for was what was in my luggage, what was I bringing into the country. So I listed off a few things: toothpaste, t-shirts, pants, this sort of thing, what you'd do. And by the way, someone with a foreign language and an AK-47, you get a little nervous. You just blurt things out. And as I listed these things, he got even more aggressive and wanted to know more. So I blurted out more things, and he got even more aggressive. I didn't know what to do. And then finally, someone in our group came up to me and said, "Flash him some money, and that'll solve it." And so, sure enough, I had some money in my wallet, pulled it out, and sure enough, everything was fine after he took the money and went his way. That's a clashing of cultures. See, my culture that I grew up in and what I was used to was you talk through things, and it's no problem. Rationally, we can explain this. See, down in Guatemala, they operate under bribery. And that illustrates that when two cultures come together, it can cause a lot of conflict. Well, friends, I'd like to characterize Luke chapter 2 as a clashing of two cultures. And maybe you didn't pick it up this morning, but let me paint a picture here of what's going on. On the one hand, we have the teaching of the church that Jesus pre-existed and was there. He pre-existed at the time of his birth, but that he was there from the very beginning when the world was created. It's not as if Jesus was born from Mary and then he just started living. No, the Bible teaches that actually Jesus was there from the very beginning when all things were created. And so we say things in our creed. The Nicene Creed says Jesus was the same substance of the Father. Essence is the word. They were there from the very beginning. And we say things that Jesus was not made, but he was begotten by the Father. Jesus was there in the very beginning when all things were created. Not just that, but all things were created for him. And by his speaking, they were created. That's Jesus. Jesus had a position of all authority over heaven and earth. So I want to paint that as a picture. Imagine what that looks like over here. Jesus on top of all the heavens and all the earth. Amazing position. But then here in Luke chapter 2, we have another culture. A very specific one. Jewish culture of the first century. And we see customs and rituals and traditions that are described here. In this text, we have the custom that's found in the Old Testament scriptures that on the 40th day after a woman gives birth, the child and mother should be presented in the temple. The mother should offer a sacrifice, and she will be deemed clean. And the first born male shall be presented and given a stamp of approval from the priest in the temple. So we have two. Did you see the two cultures here? One says Jesus is above all things. The other says Jesus has got to be under the law, under the Jewish customs and traditions. You would almost think that the two would come together and clash, and that they can't really be put together all that much. But what do we find here in this text? And here's the point that we want to take away here this morning. Jesus Christ submits himself to the Jewish customs and traditions. The Lord of everything goes through all the customs and traditions and rituals. That's a radical thought, because most people today like to paint Jesus as a revolutionary radical, but actually, more often than not, when you see Jesus in the Gospels, he submits himself to authority. He never sinned, but he goes through the rite of purification on the 40th day. He never misstepped, but he goes through the rite of circumcision on the 8th day. He knew all things. He was there when things were created. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Jesus placed himself under the authorities, the religious authorities, and learned their culture and their traditions and ways. We can imagine how Jesus did in Sunday school. How strange would that be? The Sunday school teacher would open up the book of Genesis and say, on the first day, this was what was created. On the second day, this was what... Jesus would raise his hand and say, oh, I was there. Can I fill in the details for you? Or they open up to the book of Exodus and say, oh, they wandered around this part, and we're not so sure about what happened after that day. Jesus could say, oh, I know what happened that day. I was actually there. The two clashing... What we know of the accounts of Jesus is that he submitted himself completely to all rules, all regulations, and he followed it to a T. This is the perfect example of that, Luke chapter 2. So we're stuck here with the question, why would he do that? Why would the Lord of all the earth and all the heavens submit himself to rules that seem so small and so unnecessary? Why would he do that? I've got one explanation, just from my own personal life. I can't say I've got this nailed down, but this is my explanation. When you love someone quite a bit, you do place yourself under unnecessary rules that may seem frivolous and not all that important. Let me give you an example. When we were having Kaya, We were just a few months away from having Kaya, very first child. Alicia and I decided to do Lamaze class together. I don't know, do any of you remember Lamaze class? It's changed quite a bit these days. But when you go into the Lamaze class, you have to sign up and say you will follow the commands and the rules of the instructor verbatim. This is not something that I would ever volunteer to do. I don't think a lot of men would necessarily volunteer to do this. We went into the room, and the instructor told you how to breathe. It was really in your face. Don't breathe that way. Breathe this way, they said. And I obeyed. I had to. And then the instructor, the Lamaze instructor, said, don't massage their feet this way. Do it that way. And you had to obey. And then you went from station to station, obeying all these rules of how it should go. And I remember the windows of that workout place, the door, not the door, but the wall was clear. So everyone out on the street could see how ridiculous you looked and making faces and breathing. This person telling you how you should breathe. Now, never in my right mind would I ever sign up to follow such rigid instructions and rules, except for one reason. Here it is. I love my wife. And really, I love my wife and I love my children. When you love someone so much, you do place yourself under specific rules because you love them. That's the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ's obedience in his earthly life. He didn't have to be baptized. No, he didn't have to. He did. He didn't have to be circumcised on the eighth day. He did. He didn't have to go through the rite of purification. Jesus did, and friends, he did so much more. In his earthly life, he gave glory to the Father, never took it in. He placed himself under the Father's glory. He placed himself under the authority of his earthly parents. He loved them and respected them, the Bible says. And he placed himself in a position to respect those who are around him and love the people that were placed in front of him. And there's only one reason why Jesus did all these things. Remember my rationale? I believe you only do that unless you love someone. Jesus loves you. That's why he followed the rules. Someone had to live the perfect life and follow it to a T. And Jesus did. He never misstepped. Friends, at the end of that Lamaze class, my wife, Alicia, said, this hardly ever happens. Wow, you can pick where we go for dinner. And you can pick the movie that we go to. She was so thankful for the 1 hour that I listened to the instructions and helped and went and followed what the teacher was saying. Now, friends, here's the thing. If we are so thankful for 1 hour, how thankful should we be for one person that lived a complete life for us, obediently following every rule so that we can have eternal life? We should. God has been so good to us, and we should return with great thanks what he's done for us, his obedience. It does remind me of one final illustration that I want to leave with you today, and that is this. A king went into a town dressed in civilian clothes. No one could recognize that he was a king. And on the side of the street, there was a beggar who had 30 coins in his cup. And he tried to get coins from anyone who would pass by this beggar and would jingle it and try to get any loose change out of people's pockets. And the king came up with an unusual idea. He was incognito. No one could notice. The king went up to the beggar on the street and said this, "Can I have some of your coins?" And the beggar thought about it for a while and he said, "Okay, I've calculated how much I can give you. I can give you 2 of my coins." He reached into his cup, brought out 2 coins, gave it to the king. The king put the coins into his pocket, and he pulled out of his pocket 2 diamonds, and he gave it to the beggar. The beggar thought, "My goodness, I should have given him way more coins than just 2. Friends, that illustration is our God. He has been like that king. He has been so good to us. And we couldn't even come up with just a few things that we could offer back to him for what he's done to us in giving us his son to obediently follow the law and pave the way for eternal life. But friends, in 2018, let's do our best. Let's do our best to show God thanks. Being obedient to the authorities. Being obedient to the parents that we have been blessed to have. Being obedient to one another and serving one another. By that obedience, we show our love. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for time today at peace and time to reflect upon your obedience. It was perfect. Not one misstep, not one sin. We thank you for what that means, opening up a way so that we can have eternal life. Help us to follow suit this year and be thinking about obedience as well and following your example. In Jesus' name, amen.